Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, May 29th, 2023. Today is Memorial Day. And we're going to talk a little bit about Memorial Day, but we're going to talk about some other things too. And with that being said, let me go ahead and remind everybody, I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And I have a feeling most of you that are listening are in the same boat. We love our country, but we are afraid of our government, what it has become. And with that being said, we'll talk about the American Creed and how it relates to Memorial Day and to what I just said. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Okay, and what does that mean with today? We are a nation, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. People need to understand what a sovereign state is these days, because things are getting so mixed up out there. And the principles of equality, justice, and humanity sacrifice for. Because right now, our country is in so much turmoil. Excuse me, it's unbelievable. And I think our future is definitely at risk. How long can we survive in the current quagmire that we're in right now? Which is part of what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to go, you know, every year I talk a little bit about Memorial Day. I believe most of the people listening to this show are going to understand the Memorial Day, Decoration Day, but we'll talk about that a little just to remind people, and if nothing else, remind you to remind others who were educated through public education and who don't know these things. Unfortunately, there's way too many of those. But before we go there, a couple of updates I wanted to give you. Excuse me. I'm working with Karen and Cindy and some other people to come up with a true debate between Trump and DeSantis. Now, when I say a true debate, we're actually looking for a couple of people who have a lot of knowledge about the actions and positions of Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, former congressional representative, and then Donald Trump, a former president. Where their positions are, as they're running for the presidency, what they stand for, what they believe. And when I say this will be a debate you won't hear on TV, because it's going to be we the people asking questions. It's going to be real questions. It's not going to be the silliness, excuse me, silliness that you hear on the mainstream media, on the even the cable, whatever. There's so much nonsense they put out there, and you don't get a real sense. So we want to talk about real issues. And we want to talk about what we know these people already stand for. Here's what DeSantis did about this. Here's what Trump did about this. Here's what Trump has – Trump obviously has been president, so he has a little bit of idea what's going on in that job. He's had 4 years of training already and that type of thing. While DeSantis has been a congressional representative, he's also been the governor of Florida. You know, so what would they do about immigration? In detail. We'll ask the detailed questions about immigration. Then we'll also ask in reference to the property rights. This was a big issue in Florida, but it's also an issue around this country. And we want to show what they have done and what they're saying they're going to do and what you really believe they will do, what based on their reported actions, things we know they've done, and the reality of it all. We want to have a reality check between these two individuals and which one will better serve our needs. And we guarantee it won't be a debate like you'll see on any other station or any other news media, because we're going to ask real questions. And we're going to say, well, instead of having 2 seconds or two minutes they give them to answer, we'll be able to give a little bit more in-depth answer, and we'll have more than one debate if we have to. If we haven't asked all the right questions, we'll follow up. And we're leaving it between these two people because I think we know that the for the Republican Party, at least, it's coming up between these two people and who will be the nominee. So anyway, stay tuned for that. Probably won't, you know, that probably isn't going to happen for several weeks, you know, a month or month out, I would say 4 to 6 weeks. And if you know of anybody who'd be interested, let us know, because we really need, we want people to play the role of DeSantis and to play the role of Trump. It will all be announced. The so-and-so is going to be answering what they know of DeSantis, and the other one will be what they know of Trump is, you know, that type of thing. We'll see how it goes. I just know you're not going to get a real debate in mainstream media. So let's see what we can do there. The other, I wanted to let people know that I did actually call a Target store, and I'm going to call some more local stores, and I'm asking them about what's going on in their stores. Are the, you know, how perverted have their stores become, basically? I was quite nice about it. I just said I'd seen things in the news. I'm trying to understand, if I go into your store, what am I going to see? What are kids seeing? You know, what's going on in your store? And depending on what's going on as to whether I can shop there anymore. And so if you're disgusted by some of the things you've seen happening with Target, I would encourage you to call the call a store nearby, one that you have shopped at or frequently shop at, whatever, local stores. Anyway, and you can also call their headquarters if you want. If you want to call Target Stores headquarters, it's 1-800-440-0680. That's 1-800-440-0680. Target, if you think that they're turning into a pervert shop or something else. And I did use the word pervert a couple of times, and I was just, I don't know what's going on in your stores. I don't want to see this kind of stuff. I don't need, you know, the various things, what I've seen on TV, whatever. The person was professional and nice to me, and they just need to hear from us that we're concerned about what's going on in their stores. I don't think there has to be any hatefulness about it. Just say, hey, I'm trying to understand, is this what's really happening in your stores? And he said, well, you may want to come, you know, of course, there's the, we don't really, what you're seeing on the news reports isn't really quite the way it is in the stores. So you may want to come in the store and see for yourself. It's really not quite the way it's being reported. And I thought, okay, well, that's true. I could go into a store, and if I don't like what I'm seeing, then I just won't be able to shop there. So I said, that's fair. I'll go in there if I'm offended by what I see, or I think what's going on with the kids is ridiculous and unethical, perverted even, then I just won't shop there. And so there's no hostility. Just say, hey, I'm just trying to figure out, I'm a shopper, I'm concerned about these things, I care about my community, I care about the ethics and integrity and the overall behavior, you know, and see what they say. They really do need to hear from us. I'm telling you, calling these stores is worth a lot. So I think it was on one other call I was on, I said, for every time you would call, whether a representative or, and I think it's really true, a manager or something like this, it's worth like 100 people calling. Because they know not that while I may only be one person, they know I'm not the only one thinking this. How many people are thinking the same thing but aren't calling them and are just not coming in? So they better think about it. Anyways, that's the Target story. Go ahead and then do that. This past Wednesday, some of you may have heard it, there was a show, blog talk show, Joe from Montana, to talk about, does God really exist? Joe was having some problems with his technology and wasn't able to get on the show, but we still had a discussion. And apparently, as I understand it, Joe may join us here sometime around 8 p.m. Eastern time. But he's going to be doing another show on the topic, too, because he wasn't able to interject his opinion because he is an atheist. And so he was going to say why he knows God doesn't exist. So you might want to listen to that, or hopefully we'll get into a little bit of it later when he's able to call in. So we'll do that. Part of the discussion last week came up a subject of the Freemasons, whether George Washington was a Freemason or not, and the whole discussion about the role the Freemasons played in the Illuminati. And it's a very interesting topic. And from everything I've researched on it, Washington was, in fact, a Freemason. But he also expressed concerns. And some of his famous quotes are, beware of those pretending to be patriots. There was some other quote, I'd have to find the exact word, where it makes reference to the Freemasons, beware of the Freemasons. They don't have the best intentions for America or for the world. There were different things like that. And at the same time, it was all part of the secret societies. And the secret societies still exist today. That hasn't changed. So we're going to have a separate show on the Freemasons and the Illuminatis and how they impacted what happened in the very beginning of the founding of this country and what they're doing today. What is the role they play in the total destruction of this country and of the world? So we'll have that. It was an interesting discussion, and I would definitely like to get into it more. And it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago now where I did have a Freemason person come on, and we had a discussion about all of it. So we'll do that. Excuse me. And then, let's see, the other one, we're going to be doing a show. I've said this several times. I know I don't mean to keep postponing it, but we've got to get an update on what's going on with COVID. The real impact in the enemies from within, which I'm going to talk a little bit more as we get into the Memorial Day stuff, and I'll explain that later. So a lot to talk about on there. We really need to face the truth of what's happening with this country and the way it's all happening, so we can talk about that. And then I would encourage anybody, excuse me, if you want to share any of your Memorial Day experiences or what you did to honor those, how many people maybe you have veterans or fallen heroes in your family, or whatever you would like to talk about, you feel free to do so. Dr. Tolbert's going to chime in here in a few minutes and tell us a little bit about his history. He's a veteran and what he does for Memorial Day and how, you know, and yes, he does believe in God. Yeah, Dr. Tolbert was talking quite a bit about that last Wednesday, and very informative. I enjoyed the discussion quite a bit. So that was that part. Now, when we get into the true meaning of Memorial Day and how it started out being Decoration Day, this was all after the Civil War, and it came, I think it started in like it became formalized or official, if you will, in 1868. And it was a time to go to the cemeteries to take care of the cemeteries, putting the flowers on them, and respecting and honoring those who have fallen in behalf of saving our country and giving people rights, protecting people's rights. So that's what it really comes down to, that. And I believe most of the people listening on this show don't think it's about a mattress sale. It's not truly about summer, even though people use it as that, and what it truly means and what we need to take time to pray for those, pray for our nation at the same time, pray for the fallen, give thanks for that. We can definitely appreciate the freedom that we have and realize why we have it. It's because others fought and gave. As the expression, all gave some and some gave all. There was much given to us to have this freedom. And that's what Memorial Day is about. And Memorial Day is not about shopping for a mattress. It's all very nice if retailers do something where they give discounts to the veterans to honor their service and things like that. That's all fine and dandy, and that's appreciated. Maybe they should do that every day, not just once or twice a year, that type of thing. But to understand, it's not about barbecues and stuff. It's good to reflect and appreciate the freedom you have. And we're losing a lot of that freedom as we go along, but we'll talk about that later. But recognize that people died for the freedom that we have. And to be honest, in this crazy world, is how many more are going to die for us to keep it? I don't know. I really don't know. I wonder. Because right now I see our country in a lot of trouble, what's happening to our country right now. So give thanks to those, say a prayer for those, remember those who have fallen to give us this country, and remember that freedom isn't free. There's been many, many lives lost trying to protect our rights and our freedom. And that's when, that's where I'm going to go off to where we are today. Because I'm like looking, I'm here honoring all these people who died for us, died fighting for the freedom for us. And the reality is right now, we're being destroyed. We're being attacked by the enemies from within. Our own government, which is we the people supposed to be the sovereign government, but they don't really quite understand that. But those who are in public office today, in control, the total takeover of this government, how it has totally, totally lost its way. Our government is destroying us. Our government is killing us. And I can say that because of COVID, because of fentanyl, because of Big Pharma. There is some information out there. When we do the show in a few weeks here talking about this, I'm going to be putting some information on the civil lawsuit that's going on. I'll have to get some updates on it that needs to be taken because we have armed the Big Pharma. We said, okay, it's okay to kill people. Nuremberg, forget about Nuremberg. With all the enemies from within, like the Biden administration, the Marxists who have taken over, communist Marxists who have taken over, the CCP who has had uncontrollable, undue influence across the board, then the Soros out there, and then you have the likes of a Bill Gates who I guess he thinks he's God. When we talk about God, we might have to talk about Bill Gates because Bill Gates seems to think he should decide who should live and die. He wants to depopulate the planet, so he thinks he knows. So we've got the enemies from within. We're over there fighting and protecting and doing whatever in Ukraine and protecting borders around the world while our own country is being invaded. Our own country is our enemy now. Our government is our enemy. The military. And this is where I have big questions, and the veterans who are listening and want to join in, you know, please feel free to, because I really want to hear your opinion on this stuff. Right now, what they have done, a major shortage of new recruits and stuff, as I understand it. They're offering a lot of deals, trying to get people in, but they don't want to be part of a transgender army. They don't want to have to be vaxxed. They don't want to know that their own government is putting a drug in them that's going to destroy their lives, possibly kill them, definitely make them so they can't even have children, totally messing up the reproductive system of men and women. So why would anybody want to get in this? And then they get those that are there, they're down at the border changing diapers and filling out paper. They're not securing our border. They wouldn't have to be filling out paperwork and doing changing diapers if they would be used to secure the border. But we have a government that doesn't care about us. How can you say anything different to Memorial Day? How can you deny that we're being attacked from within? How can you deny the Biden administration is trying to kill us, trying to destroy us? And with that part, I'm going to go back a little bit, do the history of a little how we end up getting here, how where this enemy came from, and put a little bit, it's a matter of connecting some dots, okay? We've done this in the past. I mean, we talked many times about the 2016 election. We already know the Obamas, first off, he had to get elected because he was black. The fact he wasn't American didn't matter. If you didn't vote for him, you were a racist, a white supremacist racist, and the fact that he was not a natural born, not even an American, he was Kenyan, is no reason to not vote for him because he's black, even though he was actually black and white, one white parent, one black. So that started a lot of this, and he's going to transform America. Well, he didn't start the transformation, but he made major dents in it. And then his Michelle Obama, as I was saying, we're going to rewrite history. We have to change our history. All these things were going on in the background with the Obamas, but they weren't the one who started it. This could have never happened strictly from the Obamas. This is stuff, as we've talked many times before, following Fee's rules for radicals, the Clard Piven thing. What happens when someone is determined to take over your country? They couldn't do it through Pearl Harbor and just, you know, we're still an armed nation, so that creates a little bit of a challenge on some things. But they were determined to take down this country, and they haven't stopped. Right now, I mean, let's face it, we all know that Biden has no clue what he's doing. He isn't making decisions. Someone is spoon-feeding him what to say and what to do. We all know that. And who do you think it is? Personally, I think it's Obama. Or Obama's surrogates who are passing the messages. But it's the Obama regime that continues. And here's the thing about Hillary Clinton. Remember 2016? She said she couldn't believe she didn't get elected. I know I got elected. I know. And then they had to come up with all the insanity of the Russia thing, Russia and all this other garbage. She knows. Well, I'm sure she was definitely confident she was going to win because they had the system rigged. The Dominion machines were already set to flip certain amount of votes, not to make anything a massive takeover of one election over another, but just enough to keep ahead of Trump, except they didn't realize the popularity of Trump. They never, never anticipated Trump could get the votes he did. So their formula, their rigging of the system, and again, this is my opinion, and I'm just connecting the dots of what happened out there. It didn't happen, and she just couldn't believe it. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be president. I'm supposed to do this last piece of the play, which was the Great Reset from Obama. I'm supposed to continue it on for the 4 years, and that's going to take over. That's going to be the destruction of the United States. And think about how Fauci back in 2017 said the next administration is going to face a pandemic. And it's like, okay, how did he know that? Why would he know, yes, we are going to have a pandemic? How can he say such a thing? He wasn't going out there saying, you know, some things have happened and we need to be prepared for a pandemic. We may face one in the near future or in the next decade. He didn't say any of that. He said, the next administration is going to deal with a pandemic. And I'm a big fan of the COVID thing was all part of taking Trump down. But I actually also kind of think a little bit more, too. It was part of Hillary's plan. It was part of the plan when Hillary's going to be there. So there would have been a COVID pandemic no matter what. But the thing is, had Hillary Clinton been in there, we would be down. We would have already fallen. The country wouldn't be here anymore because that was their plan. That was their excuse for the Great Reset, the New World Order, One World Order, Solinsky's Rules for Radicals, which Hillary is mostly a fan of. We would have had it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, that's kind of why Fauci would have said that. Fauci goes, yeah, there's going to be a pandemic in the next administration. There had to be one. That's the only way to make everything fall. And this was all part of what that was her role in the grand scheme of things. That was what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to seal the deal for the New World Order, One World Government, World Economic Forum plan, et cetera, et cetera. And when Trump got in there, it changed everything. And he still stepped into it for COVID. But I'm sure he was getting a lot of bad advice. I think he was getting some good advice too, but he probably erred on the side of caution, thinking that, I can't get into his head, so I can't totally tell you what he was thinking, but COVID was not only to destroy his reelection, it was also part of the initial plan to destroy this country. And that's what Hillary Clinton was going to do anyway, my own opinion. Based on everything I've seen, it's like, and going back to the fact that Fauci made the statement, there's going to be a pandemic in 2017. There's going to be a pandemic in the next administration. Is he psychic? Or did he know something else was going on? So we get all that, and it's like, and why am I talking about this now? It's Memorial Day. Many people gave their lives for our freedom, yet we have these people, these devious, evil people, such as Hillary Clinton and Obama, who are trying to destroy us. And now you've got these other morons in there right now. with Biden and the nutcase on the border, Mayorkas. They're all Mayorkas. Excuse me, Mayorkas. I always want to say it the wrong way, Mayorkas. They're the ones who are supposed to be securing this country, and they're selling us out. They're letting us be invaded. They're giving our money and our army and our military away. They're taking away our energy source. They're taking away our money. Central bank, digital, you don't have any money anymore. They're going to ration out what you're allowed to have. It's a massive, massive rationing of services, goods and services. You'll be allowed what they give you. These are people destroying our country. Here it is, Memorial Day, trying to give honor to those who died fighting for us. And yet our own country, the people that are entrusted to secure and protect this country are trying to kill us. And when you see the numbers about the COVID stuff, and that is, the fentanyl is part of it too. The COVID jab vaccine and the fentanyl, they're bioweapons. And it's more and more facts are coming out, especially about this vaccine, of how it's out there to depopulate and to destroy. And then when you go back and you hear some of the other information, and I tell you, I was watching some of this yesterday, of all the vaccines, over and over again, these vaccines have never been intended, with few exceptions. You know, a couple of vaccines here and there maybe truly have been designed to help people. But the vast majority, 70 vaccines, what do you think you're doing to a person? What do you think you're doing to their body? What do you think you're doing to their mind? Why would you go and put this many drugs, chemicals, into a fellow human when there was nothing wrong? So you have to, you don't have to. I have to. Being a person of critical thinking, I look at this and I say, here I am honoring the people who have died fighting for our rights and our country, yet my own country is trying to kill me right now. They're trying to kill us. And all the propaganda that went along with this COVID jab, the vaccine, and it, trust me, COVID will be a big part of the topic of the debate between DeSantis and Trump, and Trump DeSantis, whichever, because DeSantis, he did lock down the Florida lockdown for a short time, not very long, but it did lock down for a short time, and then he went on the rebound and blocked the nonsense and got us back up and running much better than other states did. So he's got a lot of credit, had the right Surgeon General. A lot of information there, the good stuff happening there. And unfortunately, Trump, once again, surrounded by idiots, or surrounded by the likes of a Fauci, who he didn't know what was really going on. He did not appreciate what was really happening with the COVID. And that's, you know, as I've said many times, I can allow the something he didn't know what was going on. It was something, he's not a medical doctor. He's depending on people like Fauci who are supposed to know these things, but he didn't really know what Fauci was about. Other people were telling him, such as David Martin and the one other scientist who actually worked with Fauci, I'm trying to remember her name, where she, going back to the days of the AIDS vaccine, all the other things that Fauci has been engaged in for years, for decades. But he kept letting Fauci take over. He's got to explain why he surrendered his authority to Fauci. Against what Scott Atlas's and some of the others and Dave Martin's and other people were telling him. He kept going with that. Kept letting Fauci talk. Now, and as he goes around today, he makes comments about, well, Fauci says it, then I knew it, I had to do the opposite. That isn't what he did. And I think today, if you could get him to, right now he's pretty much been getting a gag order on COVID. If you get him to talk about it today, is he going to admit something didn't go right and we need a full investigation? Or is he going to say it saved millions of lives? Is Trump still going to say the COVID vaccine saved millions of lives? If he says that, I just don't know that I could even vote for him because he must be insane. He may have suffered with some other kind of dementia, mental lapse, whatever it is. For him to even suggest that the vaccine saved anyone's lives and did a good thing at this point, he can't justify it. And if you're not going to admit, I mean, I see many ways he can explain something that hadn't happened. Obviously, it's not like we deal with pandemics all the time and these kind of things. And he said to go out there and admit things have happened since then. Information that wasn't available to him at that time is now there, and we need a full investigation. And we also need to make changes, like Big Pharma cannot be held unaccountable. They know liability. They can go do anything, and it's okay. And the other part, they have to face the fact there were known treatments. How did you knew yourself, President Trump, that hydroxychloroquine helped people? You were saying it. Someone told you to shut up, and you did. Had you not shut up, had you kept saying this is a solution, they could not have given the vaccine. So what game was being played on you, or did you know this and that's why you didn't talk and whatever? Explain to me why you stopped talking about hydroxychloroquine when you knew it saved people's lives. Tell me. So the whole point, and I don't think Trump was trying to kill us. I don't for a minute think Trump was part of this plan. I do believe Obama and Clinton were both in on the plan to take down this country. I personally don't have any doubt myself based on their Saul Alinsky mentality, their anti-American Marxist, whatever you want to call it, pro-Marxist stuff, communist stuff. I believe that's what their plan was, and Trump threw a wrench into the whole thing. And we should all be very thankful that Trump did get elected and he did start asking a lot of questions about a lot of things. And all of a sudden, everything went off the rails. Because just think of how they could have had this pandemic. Things could have been going just smoothly because they weren't going to do anything about the border. They weren't going to do anything about all the other stuff. The various things that Trump was doing to save this country. It would have just been status quo, continuing on from what Obama was doing, and nobody would have even really noticed. While they were behind the doors, behind the closed doors, making the plan for the pandemic, which is going to bring the country to its knees and the world, the country to its knees, and then they could easily usher in their Great Reset, their New World Order, One World Government, United Nations, all the stuff, and nobody would have really been aware. But it was because Trump was there and all the battling that they were doing with him, it called attention to what was really happening. It called attention to the enemies from within. We have to face the fact our government, that's supposed to be we the people, but it's not, our government is trying to kill us. Isn't that sick? And I think it's perfectly perfectly appropriate to talk about this on Memorial Day, because so many people died fighting for our freedom and our rights, while our own government today is trying to kill us, trying to destroy us. And I can say I'm saying killing because the COVID vaccine is a killer. It's killing off the next generation, and it's killing people. It's disabling them. It's destroying people. It's all over the board there. Isn't it something like 200? Right now, I think they say up to 200 million Americans have had the vaccine at least once, maybe more. And how many young people have died? How many premature births and miscarriages, I should say, miscarriages, how many have had and what has happened to the birth rate, the death rate? Talk to the insurance companies. See how many people are dying now compared to prior to COVID, prior to the vaccine. It's there. What are these people doing? They're trying to kill us. Why would they allow a massive invasion into this country? And those people don't have to take the vaccine. They can bring in any disease they want to. They can do whatever they want. They're okay. It's all I'm saying. So anyway, I've said enough on that. I've ranted enough on that. I'm going to get Dr. Tolbert in here because I want him to talk about being a veteran on Memorial Day. And anything else you would like to share with us. And then anybody else, if you want to join in, just push the button. Call, and of course the number is 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 so that I see your little hand go up and that you want to talk. Otherwise, I just see you out in the queue and I don't bother you because you're listening and not wanting to talk. But please think about what I'm saying. Memorial Day, honoring those who died for us, for our country, our rights, and we have an administration trying to kill us. And they are. Convince me that this government, that those, the enemies from within, are not trying to kill us. Give me some reason to think that my government is not trying to destroy us. I'm longing for someone to convince me why I believe this country, those in power, are working on behalf of the people and care about us, and that they're not trying to destroy us, because everything I see is just totally the opposite. Well, that being said, let me get Dr. Tolbert in here. And hello, Dr. Tolbert. And remember, we do not say happy Memorial Day. Please have a blessed Memorial Day.
Amen. Amen. And the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus, as we open the day in prayer, Sally, and just give glory to those who served and not only served, but who passed over and now looking down upon us from the heavens. There's a great misunderstanding about many things that we do when they did away with the draft and they failed to allow our young individuals to serve our country, and they put restrictions. But today we're going to talk about Memorial Day. It is a deeply personal day that we try to heal those wounds with memories, memories of our friends and our families who answered the call and left us too soon. It is a day when we remember the lives of the families and friends and neighbors who gave their lives in a line of duty and who share their stories with their children and our children, so they know what heroes really do in this world to protect the United States. Their sacrifices are the reasons why we still proudly wave star-spangled banners and 50 stars and 13 red and white stripes. Their sacrifices are the stitches that hold the flags together, and we can never let ourselves forget that. In that, as a military member, I salute each and every one of you and the families that did this. And I thank them from the bottom of my heart and the men and brave of women who had made the ultimate sacrifice. Today, I hope you will join me in the prayers and a recollection of the memories. A lot of people don't fully understand the origination of the Declaration Day from the early transition of the decorating flags and graves, Wells and Memorial Day. Is a day for the remembrance of those who have died in service in our country. It was first widely reserved on May the 30th, 1868, to commemorate the sacrifices of the Civil War soldiers. By proclamation, General Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of the formal Union Sailors and Soldiers. During the first national commemoration, former Union General and sitting Ohio Congressman Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, after which 5,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of the more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried there. This national event galvanized efforts to honor and remember fallen soldiers that began with a local observation at burial grounds in several towns throughout the United States following the end of the Civil War, such as May the 1st, 1865, in the gathering in Charleston, South Carolina, organized by free slaves to pay tribute and give proper burial to Union soldiers. 1873, New York was the first state to designate Memorial Day as a legal holiday. By the late 1800s, many more cities and communities observed Memorial Day, and several states had decorations and holidays accordingly in the breast and the grace and the glory of Jesus. After World War I, it became an occasion for honoring those who died in all the American wars and was then more widely established as a national holiday throughout the United States. In 1971, Congress passed the Union Monday Holiday Act and established that Memorial Day would be commemorated on the last Monday of May. Memorial Day is a commemoration at Arlington National Cemetery each year with a ceremony in which a small American flag is placed on each grave. Traditionally, the president or vice president lies a wreath at the tomb of the fallen soldiers. The fallen soldiers covers a wide expansion of where we were at. As I served in 1967, actually 1968-69 in Vietnam, and I watched individuals follow the words of God and were protected. Then there were those who went against, and they took a soldier's protection is following the rules and regulations accordingly. Soldiers that passed, unfortunately, sometimes did not follow. But we still commemorate these individuals as we do the ones that died by their events of defending the country of the United States. It is our prayers that we establish and we pray. It is a difficult time this day to know there are still soldiers dying. People don't understand in Uganda and other countries. Our American soldiers are still passing, and they're not being notified to the states, the newspapers, or local organizations that we're still today losing our military personnel. Our soldiers need to be prayed for before they go to combat, and yet we fell. I remember when I came back from Vietnam, nobody prayed, honored, or respected a Vietnam veteran, and yet there's other veterans that were. The veterans of Vietnam, the many thousands that were died and killed and tortured and held as prisoners, did not get recognized. Even to this day, we're seeing a failure. Even the VA fails to recognize the Vietnam veterans and the trials and tribulation of Agent Orange. So my prayers are for you. My prayers are go to the VA station for recovery. When I wrote the mission program for the veterans to go to local community hospitals, and it was approved. I'm praying for you that you know that God is your protector, and you will be saved, and you will be provided greater protection as you get older. I thank you, Father God, for the moments that I have this day to honor all the veterans, not only because I am a veteran, but even people that don't recognize Nathan as a veteran when he comes on and makes his comment, honor him also because he fought and did things beyond people's recognition. And the grace and the glory of God, Sally, comes upon all the listeners and non-listeners this day in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Tolbert. I would like to ask you just a couple of questions. Something that I was hearing today, I don't know if you had seen anything. Arlington Cemetery, it's obviously got a lot of people there, and it's actually running out of space. They're saying something about it's running out of space, and then something about its future is unsure. Now, when I talk about the enemies from within, excuse me, those who want to destroy us, I mean, can you imagine, are they going to try to destroy the Arlington Cemetery? Is that what these people are going to do next? And, you know, I'm talking a lot about what's happening to our country right now for the enemies from within. Am I way off base, or do you have any thoughts on, you know, that we are in fact being attacked from within? Go ahead.
I haven't heard that yet, Sally, but my comment would be under the organizations of multi-billion dollar companies buying out and building things on the Arlington Cemetery would not be an unusual factor, because we see a lot of graveyards throughout the United States that were taken over, and this would just be another disregard for our veterans and for the people that fought and protected our country. We need to just understand that we will not allow a company or a president of the United States to allow this. Just as we're seeing that's happened with Orlando and Disney World, taking over land and communities, this is not going to be any different that will happen with the Arlington Cemetery. So we do more research on it, but the bottom line is I could see them trying to do that because the lack of land available to major corporations.
Well, and there again comes the root of the problem of the evilness from within. To say that you're building a corporation is more important than honoring the history of your country. It's not like we don't have room. It's not like there isn't other spaces across this country. We are not running out of land in this country. That is not it. Maybe not the land where somebody wants it specifically, where they want it located, but we are not running out of land. There is absolutely no reason to destroy the Arlington Cemetery. It's not like we have no place to build a home for someone to live in. That's just not the case, or whatever. Or that that's where Amazon has to build their whatever. And I'm just using Amazon as an example. But the point is, there's no reason to touch that sacred ground. And there just isn't any, except you've got evil people. And when I'm talking about these people trying to destroy us, am I off track here? I mean, I don't see what these people are doing to this country right now. I think they're destroying us. Or am I over-exaggerating or whatever?
Well, if you do a follow-up on it, Sally, what it says, it'll be 25 years when they're looking at the cemetery being closed, and they're not going to get into a lot of issues. I believe that they're just not wanting us to understand how and what they'll really do with the cemetery. So it's an open question that we're going to have to wait before we find a full answer, because in doing research, there's nothing giving us a true answer.
Yeah. And you know, they'll play games with the Arlington Cemetery thing. And I just think everybody listening needs to contact your so-called representatives to let them know that you believe we should honor our history and our culture, and that doing these types of things is not acceptable. And if they intend to do that, then you can't reelect them. I mean, there's no excuse. Excuse me. When it comes to Arlington Cemetery, there's no excuse for touching any of it. And of course, and this is what they say all the time. Well, we're not going to get rid of the gas stoves today, but we do have to look at it. And of course, what happens? New York goes and passes an ordinance or some law, whatever, of banning gas stoves. We've only been using gas stoves for how many centuries? I mean, come on. But they're going to lie to you. So you have to realize they're not going to tell you the truth. And you have to do your best to force the truth out of them. You have to try to follow up and see what they've really done versus what they say they're going to do. What have they done in the past type of thing, and try to take action to try to protect this country. But the point, too, when it comes to Arlington, to even talk about that with Arlington, it's just, to me, it's so symbolic of what they're doing to this whole country. What do we do to save this country? Because right now I see us falling. I don't know that, first off, will we truly be able to have honest elections in 2024? Out of all the elections across this countryside, what percentage of those elections in 2024 will be ethical, honest, true, real, whatever you want to call it, to us? How many are going to really be that way? And I mean, to say there would never be any election fraud and yada, 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 that's all, you know, I'm not expecting miracles. I'm not expecting anything perfect. But we shouldn't have the chaos of what we've had in 2020 and in 2022, which, of course, the big one being what we saw in Arizona. But Arizona wasn't the only one. There were other ones, too. But Kerry Lake has been pushing it to demand answers to the stuff. So what do we do to save our country? What are you thinking? Obviously, we have to get back to God. That's something we seem to have left behind us. But what else do you propose people do? And again, I'll kind of ask, like, this is the COVID, I think, was part of the plan to destroy this country to begin with, too, and Donald Trump kind of got in the way. Am I out in left field and need some therapy of my own?
Yeah, first, Sally, you know, I believe, and I've written articles on it, that the draft has to come back and that free education has to be given to all members that serve in the armed forces. In the year 2000, they stopped allowing the veterans to get an education. So I ran up 261,000, you know, in 2002 to 2010, where I was supposed to have free education when I got out of service, and then they redid it. So bringing back the draft educates and trains and teaches our young people. At the age of 18, everybody should serve 2 years, not four, not 10, but they should serve 2 years. The 2 years is a protection of our country. The United States of America is no longer a defender of our country. Our military is totally gone. We don't have a military anymore. Our lack of percentage of servicemen or members, our lack of training has gotten to a point that should another country make a war, we can't provide troops. I remember when I was working under the G3 and the S3 putting together plans, I could move 500,000 troops in 48 hours to any place in the world. Simple. But today, we can't even move 10,000 or 1,000 troops to protect. Secondly, we closed down our military bases in other countries. When we closed down our military bases, what we did, we opened the doors. You cannot defend the borders of the United States by making a circle around the United States. You have to go back into France and Germany and all these companies, Thailand, Cambodia. You have to set up a military base like we did. But when they closed down the military branches and they closed down the draft, we lost the power to defend the United States of America. The President of the United States, when we wrote him letters about the defense and doing away with the FBI, the CIA, and Homeland Security, that same president today got arrested because he didn't do what we suggested he did when he was president. So Trump didn't follow the rules of law that he was required to do as the president of the United States, not getting into the injection of a disease that prevented our soldiers from staying in the military. They actually took and released and removed military soldiers because they would refuse to take the injections. And the percentage of death was higher after the injections than before. So we go back to the military again. Some of these veterans elected to come back in, but these were veterans with 13, 14, 18 years that walked away because of the fear of what would happen rather than the respect of what their responsibility is or was as a defender of this country. So we saw this in the police force. We saw this in the fire department. We saw the total destruction using a false healing that was totally disrespectful. Now, there are people that took it that didn't have problems, and there were people that took it that did have problems. But bottom line, an individual had a right to not take it or to take it. Their rights were violated, and we saw that in the military, people were told they were getting a flu shot or they were getting a polio shot, but instead they got the COVID shot. So they were lied to by the forces of the doctors in these hospitals because the doctors were given orders to be quiet. There's also a characteristic that there may have been, and there's not a confirmed thing, that there was a pill or a capsule inside your injection that allows the government to track you. So maybe the majority of the people that got their injections are now being tracked by a small device that was placed in the medicines that some of the doctors are not even aware of, Sally. So this goes on to a long story of defense.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that right now they can't get anybody to enlist. And thus, I guess, while I understand your position on the draft, and I actually agree with most of it, right now, if you mandated a draft, and you were forcing them to get the vaccines, that would be a lot of AWOL people, because that to me would be the issue. Especially, I mean, the Nuremberg trials were supposed to put an end to this insanity of just doing this, not to mention things that we know have happened in our own country, using humans as guinea pigs for stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's just so disgusting that they do this. Now, yeah. New Orleans is out there in the chat yeah. talking about, you know, find a better country and all this. Well, I will go back to Brother Warren. excuse me. If the Constitution, if we were created as a dictatorship, as a communist country, I would totally agree with you. I need to go find another country. If I don't want to live in communism, then I should go someplace else. But America is not supposed to be about communism. We're supposed to actually have rights,
yeah.
and we don't have those rights anymore. The rights of what Biden, so much of what this administration has done, and not just this one, in the past as well, institutional. All these different agencies, quasi-governmental agencies, are making laws that they don't have the right to make. It's not their place. And what they are doing, taking away the anybody that thinks that fossil fuels are going to be that anything to do with what they say with this climate change stuff, it's so bogus. It's so much garbage. You can disprove so much of what they're saying. And you go and try to stop the petroleum industry and stop it. Do I, as a citizen of this country, do I not have the right to choose a vehicle, whether it be a bicycle, a manual pedal bicycle, or do I have a right to have an electric vehicle, or do I have the right to have a combustion engine, which happens to be the least expensive and truly, in the grand scheme of things, the least harmful to the environment? Between the car, the electric car, and the combustion engine. But we don't want to deal with facts because it's all about a crisis. It's all about taking down the country. And if you're a promoter of communism, then you should be very happy. And I kind of gather that with Brother Warren, New Orleans out there, that he does promote communism. I listened to a show he had just this past week with a person from, a individual professor, who has a book on the CCP of China. China is a communist country. If you're okay with the slavery in China, then you'll be perfectly okay with what's happening in this country because you like slavery. You don't believe in freedom. It's perfectly okay. But some of the stuff I was hearing from that gentleman, it was obviously, I won't say he was an extreme radical liberal, but he was obviously a liberal. And he believes we should all just work together with China and how much China has done to help us out. Well, I don't really think China's done so much. We've allowed ourselves to be totally dependent on China for way too many things. I don't think you should ever be that dependent on anybody, including in your own household and things like that. And I can give the example of a child that never seems to grow up. At some point, doesn't the child become an adult and take care of themselves, or are they always going to be living off of mommy and daddy? Well, here, it's obviously not the mommy and daddy thing, but the point is you're dependent. You've never assumed any responsibility for yourself, and so you're constantly dependent on others who have done it for you. We should never, and this is Washington was quite well known for saying this, we should engaging in fair trade and trade equal with all nations, your relationship should be equal with all nations. It should not be a matter of all these trade deals, all this wheeling and dealing. And had we done that, China would not be in the position. We've allowed China to become empowered, and China has used our intellectual property. They're just not all that great like the guy was trying to say last week. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had a rule that China could not do what they were doing, and I believe it was George Bush who took away the rules and opened the door for China and took all of our electronic knowledge. Our electronic knowledge was actually put together by the U.S. military. It was not put together by private firms. And then this U.S. knowledge was then totally released to China. And then China took over our domain through the electronically. And then they took away the tariffs against China, and China increases our tariffs to 70-80% where we're not charging anything. And we went to Trump, and he was up in Canada, and he mentioned that he had received a message about tariffs from an individual, and I wrote the tariffs policy and bring jobs home. to Trump, and then we engaged in new tariffs. But I don't believe any product from China should come into this company country without a 20-30% tariff. I think that we have allowed them to come in here, and that's why their products are so cheap. Our products cannot be sold in other countries because of tariffs of the product, because they want to manufacture and produce their own products and eliminate foreign products because it takes away their jobs and labor. And China is using their slavery, is a good word for it, because they can sell a product for less money, and they can come into the United States sometimes with no tariffs at all. There's things that I do sometimes that I'm not aware of where the product's coming from because there's no nomenclature. But if you don't get a nomenclature on a product that gets mailed to you, you know it's coming from China. So you just have to understand that we have to put tariffs. We have to protect our economy. We have this comment, bring jobs home. Our long-term endeavor, and we're in 45 countries, is to formulate schools. And schools have to have restaurants, and restaurants have to have hotels. And people say, why would you want to have a school teaching the Christian theology and English and history and math and other endeavors and on-the-job training and be in 45 countries? Because if you can teach other countries to be productive and you teach your own country to be productive, you don't fight against each other. You actually produce and help each other. So formulating good schools and good education, and that's one of the problems we're faced in Pakistan, is that there's no schools, no jobs, or nothing in Pakistan. It's a really, really big problem. Three-year-old, five-year-olds, eight-year-olds are in the mud. They're packing dirt. They're making bricks. They're the people that are of different faith, we'll use the word Muslims in this case in Pakistan, are got good education. They got good jobs. We're doing the same in America. The people in America, people think we're graduating. 70% of the high school graduates are just exactly like I was at the age of 17. I quit. Fortunately, I went into the military. You were supposed to be 18. And I had five more months before I turned 18, and it was a signed statement that I was allowed to go in early. And we need to get back into our training and our schools and our education, because I learned in the military, and I become educated in the military. And I believe a lot of people don't understand equality existed then in the military. Equality is a big question today in the military, because we're putting certain factors ahead, and that's why I got out in 81, because you could not treat everybody as a soldier. You had to put a racial, ethnical, or gender on an individual as a soldier, and I totally disagreed with that. If you're a soldier, you're a soldier, and you don't treat one different than another. That's unethical, and that's what we did in our military. We allowed certain individuals to be treated a certain way, and they got promoted and responsibility not because of their knowledge, because of their percentage. So if a person was of a certain group, they got promoted because their percentage was not at the number equal to the number of someone with more intelligence. So we stopped doing things because of intelligence, and we started doing it, and this happens to be female. In my case, I'm talking about, we could get into the African Americans and a lot of other factors. But they took and did a lot of things in the military, and I was in Washington, D.C., and I was the communication director, and I never had a gender around me. All the military people I had were strictly male, and that was it. And in 80, I went into Washington, D.C., and I had to walk away because people say, you cannot say, soldier, do this. You had to say, ma'am, or sir, or mister, or, you know, and you're a soldier, and soldiers should not be treated any different. You're a soldier, and a soldier is to defend the country. And A lot of male soldiers were dying protecting the female soldiers in combat, and it just the wrong way to set it up. Go ahead, Sally.
Well, we've got a couple of people who want to chime in on this, so we're going to see what they got to say. But it's the affirmative action that was put into the military. And we've talked about this in the past about equality. Call me crazy, but I do believe there's a difference between men and women. And I do believe there's a difference in not everybody has the same strength or capabilities or intelligence, whatever else, equal but different. And when it comes to military and the firefighters, we talked about firefighters in the past. It's like you ought to, you shouldn't lower the standards for the job. The standards should be reflective of what the job takes. In the past, they would go out there and they would increase the requirements to keep women, the physical requirements, to keep women out of it, even though it wasn't necessary for the job. But then they went to such an extreme, so now they've lowered it so much that people who are being brought in really aren't qualified to do the job because of it could be physical limitations, could be a lack of training, it could be whatever. You should not be hired for a job strictly because of your race or gender or whatever else. You need to be qualified for the job. And if it's a problem of education, then we need to fix education. But having drag queens isn't the way to fix education for people working. That isn't the profession that I hope we all strive to be, kind of thing. So we do have a couple of callers. Go ahead real quick, and then I'll take the calls.
Yeah, real quick interjection. In Israel, what they did, they took the female soldiers, and they were all trained and put in a position of guarding the border, and they took the male soldiers to do the assault and other issues. So they both were trained. They both had requirements. They both met the requirements. They both defend the country of Israel, but they were given an assignment that fit into their physical capability, and the equality of intelligence in both are equal in some cases, in most of the cases. So you can't go by the intelligence of who should be doing something intellectually. But you have to go into, you take, so when you have two women and three guys, what happens in that foxhole in defense? And that's what has to be looked at in our United States military. But we have to understand there is a terminology of equality, but equality means you have to be equal in order to meet equality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Millie going out there talking about white rage and whatever else, I mean, it just... And he's in charge, or he's one of the higher-ups in the military. That guy scares me. It's like, well, between him and then our other homeland security, I mean, we're not in very good hands. Okay, I've got two callers out there. Let's go to 4953 first. Please give us your first name and let us know what you're thinking, and then we'll go to that next caller.
My name is Pianchi. You know.
Hey, it's been a while, yes.
It's been a while. Not only are these goods and products being manufactured in China, but the ships that bring them to the U.S. is China. The custom agents that clear them through our customs are Chinese. They are stored in Chinese warehouses here in the United States that are driven by Chinese. And from that point, they are distributed throughout their retail outlets or further warehouse throughout the country and ran by Chinese. The only thing that's different is that the stuff is being sold to Americans. And that's totally lucrative. And you know another thing.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was agreeing with you. Yes, we've allowed China to take over this economy. And we talked many, many times about the food supply and stuff like that. So, yeah, we said, well, China, come on in, take over.
Yeah, and then here's another thing. Of course, they're trying to buy up land. They're trying to buy up farms, agriculture land, and so on. That's dumb to let that happen. And another thing, these people that's coming across the border, they're illegal. They're not supposed to be working. Any monies that they earn here is earned illegal and should be seized. It should be seized. They allow with the I-10 numbers, individual tax identification number, they get mortgages, home mortgages. When they close on that house, they take that promissory note to the nearest voter's registration, and they register to vote. All they ask for is the address. They use that to get a driver's license. All along, they're voting, and they're illegal. That's ridiculous. The kids come across the border with no inoculation records whatsoever. They've been inoculated for anything. And it's just totally ridiculous. You got over 800,000 men and women in U.S. prisons. They should be tried. You should try to rehabilitate them where they can come out and be productive citizens for those that want to be before you start bringing in people that's supposed to be coming and make their lives better. No, it's not about making your lives better. You're supposed to add on and make the lives of Americans better. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and I want to interject there.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me interject, Sally. What's happening now in the state of Florida that we actually have part of our board of members that are in Port St. Lucie that are getting paid by the state of Florida, and when people come out of the prison systems, they're actually going through a rehabilitation and training and employment thing. So there are states now, and we did this back in, I hate to say this, but 2021, 22, 23, I went into the Fort Lauderdale prison systems, and we actually are seeing that 98% of all prisoners went back to prison. But when they're properly see a person as myself, and they said, if he can do it, we can do it. And we got letters from hundreds of prisoners that got out and didn't go back that it takes a on-the-job training to recycle, re-educate our prisoners. I had a choice at the age of 17, going to jail or going to the Army. I selected the Army. My cousin did not. He spent 4 years in jail. So proper education, proper motivation, proper integrity, we will cut back all of the other issues. On the fact of immigrations and people, I've seen that what I did legally, bringing my wife from Venezuela, running her through the system, going into Trinidad, going into Colombia, getting all the stuff because she was from Venezuela, $30,000, $40,000 to do. I watch people going into different places today making more money buying new cars and having better jobs than the average American citizen, and they're illegal. I'm watching it every day.
It's terrible. Okay, we got another caller who wants to join. I believe this is Griller Warren who wants to chime in. Let's see if I can get that mic open. Okay,
yeah.
And then I see one other person out there now, too. So people are starting to jump into the conversation. Is that you, Brother Warren?
Yes, it is, Sally. I want to say greetings to everyone. I'm Brother Warren, the host of New Orleans Week Up, one of the hottest shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Many people that are right here on your show right now tune in to my show regularly, as you did on the other day, Sally. I appreciate you tuning in, listening to the show called China, the new superpower we all should learn from. As I listen to you guys, I often think about what you all often tell critics of this country like myself. You guys could leave. You guys can go to another country to live. That's what you often tell other critics of this country. Now, you just contemplate that and think about that. I want to say
Let me answer real quick to that statement, because you're right. I have said that to you, in fact. But if we follow our Constitution, what this country was founded on, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, if we follow those, I will be quite happy. The problem is we're not following them. They're violating the laws of this country. I don't think I should move because they're violating the laws. I think we should enforce the laws. And if they enforce the laws, I have no reason to leave. Anyway, continue.
You see, you interrupted my sermonette, Sally. I wrote this sermon down and got scriptures, and you just interrupted. You don't do that in the church service there. But anyway, the other point about the U.S. military, I was listening to the young man talk about bases being closed. The United States military has no business being in other countries. That's called occupation. The military bases in Japan, South Korea, and other places. That's U.S. occupying those countries, like in Germany. Okay, and the only reason why you would be there is to keep control of those governments. That is a conquest, okay? And so many American young men and women of all walks of life have died, senseless lives, on baseless wars. The Gulf War, complete lie. People died. Million Iraqis died. And we can go on and on about false wars. The situation in Ukraine is a lie. It's leading to a hot war with Russia. The attempt to further have a hot war with China, which is hilarious considering that you can't contain Russia. We have to really understand what this country has been about. It's basically been a military settler colony operation, and it's ultimately coming to an end. I am a fan of China. I have no qualms against China. China is a great example for developing countries on how to develop and how to use the government and private sector to build your country up. The United States is under control by finance capitalism, Wall Street, okay, what we call the fire sector, real estate, insurance, finance. There's no more production capitalism. There's no manufacturing base here. So what you have left is you have an elite group of people who want to control all the land and make everybody renters. In other words, they want to go back to a feudal system like in Europe. And they're angry with China and Russia and even Mexico because, number one, they have state control of certain sectors of the economy like oil and gas, so on and so forth. These people here want their hands on those people's resources. That's why they're demonized so often, and we're made to hate them. They haven't done us anything, okay? And so it is very, very unfortunate that you all carry this this rhetoric about other nations who have done you absolutely nothing, a fear-mongering. That's old soup. That's old soup that you all put in the microwave trying to warm all over again. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to be quiet, Sally. You will not stop China. You will not stop China. China's going to move. It's going to go. It's going to surpass the United States economy.
We have done everything.
You will not stop it.
Them.
You can talk to your blue in the face people. You will not stop it. And I'm for China.
Well, America's
go China,
dying.
Go.
And if you're okay with the fall of the United States of America, then you are a person who's quite content with what's going on. There's something seriously wrong when we were energy independent. But now we have to depend on getting solar panels and all the other windmill stuff and we are dependent on China, so we will be a hostage to China. And maybe that's okay with you. It's not okay with me. And it wouldn't. China happens to be the one who's doing this at this time. I don't want any foreign entity. Hold on. This is my show now. I got another call. I got two other callers that want to chime in here.
Could I make a last point and I'll be quiet, Sally?
Okay.
The American people are held hostage to greedy American capitalists. That's who American people are held hostage to. And these greedy American capitalists now want your Social Security. They want your Medicare. And how are they going to be successful in doing this? To get you involved with senseless culture wars. To have you looking in people's libraries and school libraries and shining lights on people and seeing if you're transsexual. This is how they're going to do this. Because the one party called the Republican Party is going to pride itself as being an instigator of these culture wars, and they're going to advocate to cut your Social Security and Medicare, and because they're pushing the culture wars, you're going to go along with it, and you're going to get screwed. That's what's going to happen to you.
Okay. Well, first off, I don't go along with what the Republicans say either. I can't stand either one of the parties. So I gave you your extra time. Now I got two other callers that want to join in here.
Thank you.
And definitely make sure you read some of these comments. This is Hank Jones out there. Wait a second. So when other nations have literally stolen our technology, nationalized American businesses, and go China, go. That's why Brother Warren is dangerous, and the new China is a great example of human rights abuses galore, worthy of admiration, New Orleans. China hasn't done anything? How about hacking hacking of our government agencies and getting to the personnel for info for our federal government? So, yes, they definitely to act like China is our friend or an ally is just not true. And I don't think it was ever intended to be true. I don't want any foreign country buying up our land. I don't want any foreign country having control over our food supply. So it happens to be China is communist. Communism comes from everything owned in common. Communism comes from common. And I don't think, as the World Economic Forum, people are saying, you will own nothing and be happy. That's communism. You will own nothing. You will have no choice to travel. Maybe that's what you want, but that ain't what I want. Now I got two other callers. And
when you get
a
chance, Sally, I'd like to make another comment. Get the other two callers.
Yep. Okay, let me go. I think this might be Sarge. Sarge, is that you or someone else?
It's the one and only, can't be excelled by anyone else. Let me explain something to you, Sally. You know, the reason why we go to Brother Warren shows and others like it is because we conservatives do not live in echo chambers. They do. They're the ones that like their insular way of life, undisturbed by any contravening thought. They don't want to hear what we have to say, but we definitely want to hear what they have to say, because for one reason, we not only want to counter it and push back against it, we want to be aware of what they're plotting. So we make sure we listen to it. At least I do, and most of the conservatives I do feel the same way. And I'd again like to extend my offer to Brother Warren whenever he's ready, even though I know he thinks I'm beneath him. He thinks I have nothing to say that will edify anyone. He would prefer to say to himself that I'm not worthy of his attention. But believe me, if he shows up and dares to debate me on any issue that we agree upon, then he's going to find out something else. But let's leave that aside for a minute. When he made this statement about, the United States having military bases all over the world, and to a degree, I kind of agree with him. I think there are many places the United States is based that we should not be any longer. They no longer need our protection. But as France did in 1966, when Charles de Gaulle demanded that all military headquarters and installations not under French command leave French territory by 1967, any one of the other countries on which we have bases, Japan, Germany, South Korea, they are all there at the pleasure of the sovereign nations upon whose land we are leasing our military bases. If for whatever reason they decide they don't want us to be in their country anymore, they can renegotiate or end those status of forces agreements, and our armed forces will have to leave. The reason they don't is because they see it in their strategic interest to have us remain there, and we feel the same way. That is what sovereign nations do. We're not occupying their countries. We are there at their pleasure as their guests under their lease that they extend to us. So as usual, like most leftists, he distorts the facts because he either doesn't know them or knowing them will simply get in the way of his agenda. They cannot be truthful ever about almost anything. They have to either tell a partial truth or a complete untruth. And when it comes to, the idea that, the American people are snooping in the wars and all, yeah, we get snooping in the wars sometimes. Doggone right we do. But like I said, in the case with France put us out of their country because our headquarters were not under their command in every country that wasn't under had military units that were not under French command had to leave. But France would not exist today as the nation it does exist as were it not for the United States. The United States went in there and with its blood and treasure in an 8-month period sacrificed the lives of 155,000 of its fighting men in 8 months in Northwest Europe and in France. From D-Day to May 7th, 1945. I think that's something to at least consider. The South Korea owes its existence. You take a look at South Korea today, the prosperous, liberty-loving, innovative trading partner it is in the world, people with a much higher standard of living than their colleagues, their genetic brothers just across the 38th parallel in the DMZ who suffer from unremitting misery. Look at the size and the stature of them compared to the well-fed South Koreans who are on average 25 to 30 pounds heavier and 3 inches taller. And you compare their standard of living with people who speak the same language and for the most part share a common culture. Look at their idea of free market prosperity compared to the wretched hovel and hellhole that is North Korea. I cannot offer a better contrast in the difference between a free market and a structured communist market, to say nothing of East Germany and West Germany, East Berlin and West Berlin. The argument should have been settled with those two countries alone. But yet and still here this country is heading recklessly onto the same course of action that ruined those other two nations. And more, and far more, the historical record is replete with the record of socialist and communist failure. And today is the day that we owe to all of those fighting people, all of them, who gave the sacrifice, because not only in wartime, but in peacetime on operational training and everything else, everything in the line of duty that had to do with protecting this country, because training is every bit as much a part of being ready for the fight as is fighting itself. And that includes the people who just gave their lives at delivering mail in a traffic accident. That's all part of it. They all deserve commemoration. They all deserve the respect. And I'm going to remember Memorial Day for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Bianca, are you going to, you want to chime in?
Yeah, what I was going to say is, Sarge, and good evening to you. He's absolutely right. Where there are military bases, the United States leases that space from that country, and that country invites the United States in because it provides them with the type of protection that they cannot afford themselves. They have no means to make aircraft. They have no means to make tanks. They have no means to make trucks. They have not those means. And they welcome the United States. It's just like China. During World War II, when Jimmy Doolittle and his raiders, some of them had to ditch in China territory, and the Chinese provided them protection. And also, it was United States Volunteer Air Force and air pilots that built up Chinese Air Force. The Japanese was running lop shop over them, bombing their cities like Wuhan and others. When, after that raid, the Doolittle raid, the Japanese were so mad and so angry that they went into China and killed over 250,000 Chinese and raped their women. So the United States has been a savior around the world. And for me, frankly, I'm glad as hell to live in an ass-kicking country. I wouldn't want it no other way. Thank you.
Amen. We need to protect ourselves, except we don't have any protection anymore. No one's protecting us today, as I see it, and that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier. I see you, Nathan's out there, and also I saw Joe from Montana. He was out there, but it looks like he has left the building. We were going to try to talk a little bit about God. I don't know if Nathan wants to try to put anything out there to challenge him or if we can get Joe from Montana back on here. Kind of finishing up some of the discussion we had last week in reference, does God really exist? Because Joe from Montana doesn't believe so. He just does not believe in God. So anyway, but let's get Nathan here. Nathan, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Listen, I got to give New Orleans, I know him as New Orleans. I got to give him credit. He is honest about what he believes, even if you disagree with him. I don't think he would give me the patience for my disagreement than I would give him, but I would challenge him and disagree with him, but I would never get so emotional because he doesn't agree with me, because he's got his own mind. He's right about China. China is a slave country. Communist is about God is the government. And I guess that's what he wants. And all of our countries that go over there, our businesses, we lose it. We lose any rights to it, because once you create, let's say you create a hairspray, and you get it cheaper made over there. But guess what? And I know people that's done this. They decide, that's it, I'm bringing my company back home. Well, guess what? They're still out there selling that product. Like there is no. There is no patent laws that they live by. They do whatever they want, and that's what they do. I'm dropping a thing in the chat room of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's a snake. Okay, he's got a business. This is a short video
of Mitt Romney during 2012, meeting with a bunch of, well, not a bunch, about 15 leaders in America on business, and he's telling them about this slave labor that business that he's invested in China with these men on the wall, so these women, he says, can't get in. They want the job so bad, but they're on the wall with rifles so that the women can't get in to get the jobs of the people inside. You know, he's bullcrapping there. No, you don't put people on the wall with guns to keep people from getting in. That's called labor camp, okay? But that's what we'll be doing whenever China. Now, here's something I want him to do. I want him to go get on the Internet and go type in Hillsdale College, Big Pharma, and the Chinese Communist Party. Okay, it's the speaker is Brian T. Kennedy. He tells what China wants to do. China does not want to be a part of this global community. What they're wanting to do is they want to wipe the people. They want our property. They don't want the people. They got people right now over here, law enforcement from China over here, enforcing China law on Chinese Americans. Okay? See, they think even after you immigrate to another country, they still own you. Okay? Now, I hope New Orleans doesn't get what he wants for a government. The only thing, my biggest problem with my government is you got a guy that tells me something for my vote and then doesn't do it, and he said he swears to the Constitution and he doesn't know it. I'm just going to keep working on my country and not try to put another country in business, especially whenever he's going to put somebody in business that's going to wipe us out, take us, not make us second or third class citizens. They want to get rid of us completely. Please go and listen to this guy, Brian T. Kennedy. And I, you know, America is pretty much over because we got people that are not making a commitment to the Constitution, and they don't know it. And if they did, you would be able to look at this other guy that ain't like me, ain't nothing like me, and say, you know, that's my fellow American. In order to keep our lives, we need to work together on this thing. But that's
Sally,
all I
can
got
I ask
to
you
say.
A question, Sally?
Yes,
can I ask
yes.
you a question,
oh,
Sally?
Oh, you're Sally.
Yes,
Sally.
Go ahead.
You listen to the interview I did with the professor of Chinese language about China. You had comments in the chat room. Why didn't you call in and challenge the man? Why didn't you call in with your knowledge to confront the knowledge he has? This guy
I missed that show. I don't know when that
Sally listened in. But what I'm learning is that some of you guys really don't want information. You just want to run with these little talking points and stay in a little bubble, like in a little club with your friends here on Blog Talk.
Do you want me to answer your question?
Sure.
Because I was working. I was actually multitasking. So I really couldn't call in. I wasn't able to.
Okay, Sally. I guess I'll take your word for it. But, again, anybody who listens to my shows with guests, know my guests are actually experts in the areas that they're speaking about. They're well-informed. And, again, there are other people in this room right now who have listened to my shows with guests on more than one occasion, because one of them here called in a few times in the past. And so I have damn good shows.
Yeah, I have called into other shows. I called into Joe's show in the past, and I don't know if I called into yours once a while back, but I call into other shows. It all depends on my schedule. I can't, I am not doing this full-time. This is not my full-time job. I have another full-time job.
And let me say, China is to be admired for its development within 70 years. Lifetime has gone from one of the poorest countries in the world to one of the highest technologically developed countries in the world.
And
what country
of
does
what
not want that for
did.
Themselves?
Yeah, you
China
might want to put
not
Richard Nixon's role in it, too, because he had a great deal to do with it. I'll give him that admiration if you will acknowledge that the United States was crucial in enabling them to become a world power.
The Chinese
exactly,
is a 7,000.
Okay, hold on a second. Time out for just a second. I want to read a couple of comments from the chat room here. Let's see. And this was actually a couple minutes back with Hank Jones. Bravo. Sarge and subsequent caller absolutely nailed it. And then if Joe from Montana is this, this was dyslexic, it's not God. It's not God, he questions, it's dog. Okay. And I've seen that a couple times. Well, the other is experts estimate the human organ trafficking industry in China is worth $1 billion a year and is fueled by harvesting organs from China's 1.5 million concentration camps and inmates. China appears to be the primary perpetrator of forcible acquired human organs trafficking, but is that not but it's not the only offender, which that's another thing too. China communists, which are atheists. And too bad Joe's not on here. Don't truly have any value for human life. They do not put a value. You are just a piece of property, and that's what it is. Whether New Orleans, Brother Warren wants to admit that or not, but they are also known for the biggest trafficking. And we have the likes of a Fauci working with China. It's just unbelievable to me. Then Lightweight put the link out there, and let's see what the other Hank Jones. What he wants isn't fair or equitable is when it comes to government. He wants China to win because he, like most deluded left progressive, believe they can become they become the power. And wrong. What we don't want is your information because your information is false and your experts aren't actually experts. I'm tired of a lot of experts. That's another story. And then experts have facts, not hearsay. And then another. Brighter World, there's another link out there, brighterworldmcmasters.ca, put that out there. China's development is due to U.S. technological assistance, not to mention China's theft of technology, their human rights abuses, aggression in Southeast Asia, and the collusion with multiple terrorist nations. And I am totally in agreement with those various comments because that's really what is happening. And you go out there.
Hold on.
That's what the fact of the matter is. I believe Clinton was another one who gave away intellectual property. Without the United States, China will be bankrupt on its own.
Sally. He gave away military technology to Red Chinese.
Yes.
And you know, Mitt Romney. Let me throw this in there. Mitt Romney owned the computer security system that the Pentagon used, and whenever he sold it to China within 6 months, China was hacking the Pentagon computers, okay? And that's why a lot of politicians, Republicans especially, would not vote for him in 2012. China
okay.
is honest. They'll kill somebody to take the liver to send it to you because you got the money to buy it.
Yeah, well, and we haven't even talked about the going with the connection between the Biden crime family and China and everything else going on. And China has bought out, the CCP has bought out many, many politicians. And Mitch McConnell, look at what his wife is tied to communist China with all the transport stuff. So it's all over the board. If you believe in communism, you should be very happy today, if that's what you want, communism.
Can I say this, Sally?
Sure. Go ahead. You got a couple minutes.
Chinese civilization is over 7,000 years old. So they're very aware of their own history and culture, and they are agents of their own development. One thing China does that I greatly admire, whenever the free enterprise billionaires screw over the system or get over, they crack down on them. What happens in our capitalist system? Within the last 2 months, you had three bank collapses. You had the Silicon Valley Bank that collapsed in March, the Signature Bank in New York that collapsed, the First Republic Bank in San Francisco in May, and then the government comes in and save these people. They get a welfare check, okay? And so that's what happens. The capitalist system busts, And then the government comes and rescues them. In China, you don't screw over the people like that. You get arrested. You get put in jail. So all of these bank collapses we're having and bank busts we're having since 2008, and the government steps right in. The government steps right in. You don't hear from the free enterprise people at that point. You don't hear them say,
"God, I'm
going to have nothing."
Okay,
they benefit from
point.
That. Okay,
yeah, I've given
so
you some time.
You all need to understand what y'all are talking about.
Yeah, we
okay, well,
do understand what we're talking about. That's why we're trying to educate you. What we are understanding is that the traditional found habits
Shut
of American
up,
economic
Put him
culture
on mute, Sally. Put him on mute.
To allow,
no.
to us to allow
yeah,
for
give
the
him a minute,
moral
but then I'm
hazard
chime in here.
Of reckless investment. And what we've gotten away from that concept with a semi-socialist system like they have in China. What we are saying is when we abandon the moral hazards of reckless economic investment and practices and don't allow these institutions to fail, as we once did, then we are actually getting away from the foundational principles of the United States. We're becoming like China and other countries we should be. You are not speaking. You are not speaking of free market economics when you cite the things you cite, Brother Warren.
Those banks did not stay up because there were regulations. There were regulations on the banks, and the regulations have been removed. The regulations on the banks have been removed.
I
repeat what I just said a moment ago. I mean, you're apparently
Hold on, both of you. Okay, Nathan, are you trying to chime in? I'm sorry. Who's the other person trying to chime in?
Yes, Bianchi's trying to chime in.
Okay, go ahead and chime in, and then I'm going to say something.
One key thing about that country there, Sally, if you go out in your backyard to plant a tree and up come bubbling crude, that's yours. It ain't that way in that country. That belongs to the CCP.
That's right.
Thank you.
Everything is owned in common.
I want to remind the last caller of eminent domain. I want to remind the last caller of eminent domain. Thank you, Sally. You got the floor. Go ahead.
And what does eminent domain say? Don't just pass over like a talking point. The Fifth Amendment is very specific in what it says. It says they're taking a private property with due process of law for public purposes, only with due process of law and adequate compensation. Now, so you like to just gloss over things as though that's supposed to end the argument, and it doesn't. An eminent domain is a relatively rare thing compared to the other transactions economically in the United States. In China, it is the rule. Eminent domain is the rule in China, not the exception.
Well, there is no private property. That's the whole point. Communism, everything in common. Now, Nathan, were you going to chime in real quick?
Well, yeah, I'm going to say one thing, and then I'm going to hang up. I'm going to say one thing on him. If he goes down and listens to this Big Pharma and the Chinese Communist Party, Brian T. Kennedy, this is something he says. He says, and he says it better than me, but he says we don't ever have to worry about being nuked by China. Because China does not want to nuke this because they want the property. They want to get rid of the people, and that's why they're giving us COVID and fentanyl and everything else. So, yeah, I think whenever China takes America over, I hope I'm not here, New Orleans. I hope you have a place here. But you won't be nothing to these people.
Yeah. Well, and so now I'm going to chime in here, too, because – That is, I've heard that many, many times. They want to preserve this land. China wants land. China, the real estate is what they value here. That's why they're trying to buy up all our farms and other lands, and why we have a reckless government that's allowing it to happen. We couldn't go over there. Do you truly think Americans can go over there and buy land in China? No, the rules are different. Why are we allowing any foreign? I don't care. It's not just China. China happens to be the communist power who's trying to take over the world, and they have taken control over many countries because they go in there, the Chinese Communist Party goes ahead and gives their money wherever they want. They have taken over factories and things in, I can say Italy, for example, but there's many of them, and then they produce stuff in there and they sell it like made in Italy, but it's really made from China.
Sally,
just like right here in this country. Hold
Sally.
On one second real quick. Yeah. stop, please. Go ahead and then don't interrupt me again, please. I'm trying to get something out here.
The anti-Chinese rhetoric is racist, plain and simple.
Okay, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to listen to that. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with ideology.
When they're out of arguments, they always resort to that one.
Yeah, of course. And that's why it's insanity to say that.
Stop
talking or I'm going to have to hit all the mute buttons here. The point is, it's a different ideology. If you believe in communism, you're going to be happy. Do you truly think the Chinese Communist Party having control of Smithfield Foods does not put you at risk and all the fentanyl that is coming from China? I don't know. Maybe you don't know anybody who's died from fentanyl. Maybe you don't have any kids. And the kids are not taking fentanyl. The stuff is getting laced into other things because it doesn't take much to kill somebody. But if you're okay with Chinese people getting the fentanyl in here, And because we have no security, because of the people that are in charge in the administration who refuse to secure this homeland, if you're okay with China coming in and killing all of us, then you're happy. I don't know why you would want that. If you want communism, you are very happy in this country today because that's where we are going. That is the fact. Now, we were talking about the banking a few minutes ago, and I totally agree that the federal government should not be taking it. The too big to fail was a farce in the beginning, but it was all part of, let's go back to why it's happening, because of the communist takeover. Those who do not want this country to survive. If we are going to survive, it was Jefferson who said, a central bank will be is a bigger threat than the military. We have to worry more about these kind of threats than we do the other. And why are they going to go to a central bank digital currency? Because they're going to ration your money. You will not have a choice. Oh, you spent too much money on this and whatever else, you buy gas, whatever it may be. They will have full control over your account. And by the way, do you forget? Most people don't really appreciate the fact that Canada is a communist country. Maybe not to the quite extent we think of China, but they are. You can go out there and look, and good old so-called president up there, he's out there on record saying that Canada is a communist country. And what did Canada do when the truck drivers protested? They took away their accounts. They froze their money. And don't think it's not going to happen to the people in this country when they do it. If you don't think it's going to happen to you, you're foolish. You are truly foolish,
Sally.
Blind, clueless of what is going on. So you better be careful. And the banks should fail. These bigger banks, which is, have you ever read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island? Do you really know what the Federal Reserve is? It's all part of this takeover. And if you don't know that, then you're the one who's playing the role of being ignorant out here of what's going on. Go read The Creature from Jekyll Island. Go read the fact that the Federal Reserve are private banks, the biggies out there, who are taking over the small banks, and that's all being done with the help of this government, which is what they're doing is unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. Okay. Somebody else was getting ready to chime in there.
Sally, yeah. This should give you an idea of the attitude of the Chinese communists and their pragmatically cruel and cynical attitude toward people and things. Today is Memorial Day. I think this story about China, which just came out last week, is very apt about their attitudes toward people and things and their reverence for things that they don't choose to have reverence for. During World War II, there were two British warships. They were the Repulse and Prince of Wales. Now, the reason the Japanese struck west in the Pacific was to enable their conquest of China, because in order to do that, they had to secure new supplies of oil and scrap metal, and they had to go to the East Indies, the Dutch East Indies, and get the United States Navy out of the way so they could continue their conquest of China. Now, those two British warships, the Prince of Wales and Repulse, were sent there to stop that. They were sunk. Now, the steel that was used in those two warships was very high-quality steel. It came about before they were doing atomic bomb testing and the like. And it's of such very high quality because of its pre-war nature that the Chinese are sending salvage crews out to dig up as much as they can. These are battleships. They weigh thousands of tons, like 50,000, 60,000-ton ships. There's a lot of perfectly good grade steel that's still very useful, even after all this time. And it's that right down at the bottom of the seat waiting for the taking. But they've also been designated as war graves. They are internationally recognized as war graves. 842 men of the Prince of Wales and about 780 from the Repulse are still down there with those ships. Chinese don't care. Chinese don't care. Those men died literally to help protect, help
they don't.
Prevent
they have that by your voice.
The conquest of China by the Japanese. No, they don't care at all. They just want the medal. Because this, because their agenda demands that they need it for their own purposes, among which is to rape Africa. So I think you ought, people ought to be aware of this thing about the Chinese. They are ruthless. They don't care.
Yeah,
what, I'm talking about the Chinese people. I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party,
Xi Jinping,
and all of his minions. Those are the ones that don't care about human life. Those are the ones that weld people into apartment buildings to let them die and burn to death when they can't get out, when there's pandemics and whatnot, like there was during COVID. They don't care about human life anymore than they care about the people they execute for their organs or the Uyghurs they got locked up in concentration camps. And you better see, you better just watch what happens to Africa when they get their way in Africa, when they're mining the Congo for lithium.
They got their way in Africa.
Okay.
They'll go into Africa and build a fort or build a dam. And see, China will artificially inflate and deflate its currency at will. But if they give a country a price to build a dam, that dam is going to be built with all Chinese labor, except for a few, and also with Chinese material. So if they tell you that a yard of concrete costs $80, it really may only cost $15. You don't know. And then they will let you begin to manage it. But as soon as you start missing payments, they will come in and manage it for 100 years until they get repaid.
They hold
on. Yeah, Sally,
I tried to make it clear.
Hold on.
See, you always cut me off, Sally. You let them just run.
Hey, I've given you plenty of time. I want people to know that Joe from Montana, I see you out in the queue. I don't know if Nathan wants to call back in and talk to you about the God thing. And I have one other caller who is just chiming in, so I'm going to see what they
say. I'll be real quick, Sally, to let me, because this is why you got to understand why pre-atomic age steel, which they call low background steel or pre-war steel, is steel that was produced prior to the detonation of the first nuclear bombs in the 40s and 50s. It is sourced from shipwrecks and other steel artifacts, and it's used for modern particle detectors because more modern steel is contaminated with trace elements from nuclear fallout. Now, since they stopped atmospheric nuclear testing, background radiation is at very near natural levels, making special low background steel not as necessary as it once was, but it's still useful, and it has a low enough radioactive signature that it can be used for these modern particle detectors, and it's much more useful than post-nuclear fallout steel is. So that's why they want it, and that's why they're down there and use it. It's part of their nuclear weapons program. And they don't care if they're disturbing war graves to get it.
Okay. Now, a couple things here. We're down to about 6 minutes. I'm going to let the show run a little bit over, but I'm not planning on staying over too late, so we can kind of wrap this up. So anybody who's listening from the Internet, you need to call in if you want to continue listening after 6 minutes. I see Joe Gibson out there, so I'm going to go to him. New Orleans, Brother Warren. I am not going to have you tell me I'm a racist, because that is about the stupidest thing you can say. And anybody who truly knows me, which have known me for many, many years, much more than you, will know that is an absolutely stupid thing to say. And if that's the only excuse, the only thing I can give you a couple of just 2 minutes if you want to chime in on something, because I think I give you a lot of time to talk. Then I'll go to Joe, because I want to see what Joe wants to say here. But I am not going to listen to you call me a racist. The fact of the matter is, you're the one who's a racist. I couldn't care less what background somebody has. But if you are part of the Chinese Communist Party, and you are the one controlling our food supply, and you were the one who was helping, who actually owns the COVID vaccine, patent to the COVID vaccine these days, which there's a lot more to that story, and all these other things going on, and the fentanyl and the various things going on there. I'm sorry, I don't think you're my ally, and I don't want any foreign country having control over our food supply and buying up land. It wouldn't matter whether they were Russian, German, or Chinese. It happens to be the Chinese Communist Party. I give you 2 minutes, and then, Joe, I'm going to you.
Well, Sally, I want to respond to these gentlemen's allegations of China and Africa. One of the difficult things the U.S. finds itself in right now is they can't find any African nation to side with them against Russia and China. I've been to African countries, and I've seen the work that the Chinese have done. They've built bridges. They've built roads. Last year, I was in Ethiopia and Addis Ababa. I saw the new African Union building the Chinese built. This is what the Chinese doing. They're not using the World Bank, or IMF loans that the United States control to put these countries into debt and to tell them to break up aspects of their infrastructure and development in order for them to get the loan. You're not going to get these developing nations. They're called the Global South, by the way. That's the term being used. They are moving further away from the United States. This is the winning team now. And you all are on the losing team, and you're going down on a sinking ship. The
How are you?
China is leading the world in peace endeavors, investment, and this is what these other countries see. And you guys are really caught in a bubble of conspiracy theories and little tropes that's going on. And I'm telling you that China is the future. You're not going to
well,
stop
communism
it.
Is the future based
oh,
on everything going on right now in this country.
Let me give you a historical analogy. When the United States was a burgeoning nation, Great Britain tried to stop the United States. They even tried to invade the United States again in 1812. They even accused the United States of stealing intellectual property. They did all of that. But Great Britain realized that they had to learn to live with the new burgeoning power in the world called the United States. The United States is going to have to learn that it's going to have to live in the world and coexist peacefully with China. That's the analogy in history there, and that's what you see witnessing. The United States is being isolated in the world. The developing countries called the Global South are moving on their own.
Okay. I've given you your time.
They're developing alternative monetary systems and everything.
I've given you your time. I'm going to go to Joe here in just a second. The fact of the matter is there's two completely different ideologies. I guess it was all a lie that the Chinese people were locked in their buildings during COVID because they would never do such a thing and all the other stuff that's going on. If you like communism, if you are a promoter of Marxism and communism, you will be quite happy in the United States of America as we are going today because that's where we're heading, where the fall of the United States of America is here, and that apparently makes Brother Warren happy, and he prefers to live in communism. But that's based on everything you keep telling us that China is the way to go, and you promote you believe and promote in communism. And, Joe, with that being said, what do you have to say? How are you doing this Memorial Day?
I'm doing all right. Well, China is the leader in slavery. With their people, the most slaves that they and torture, their torture chambers and camps that they have there. So they're very perfected on that, and they're a leader on that. As far as their growth and their technological advances, they're way behind. The media is puffing them up too much, and there's a lot of false narratives going around. China is not that much of a threat. It's only in people-wise, they're standing army on their ground, but the technology that they have, they know they can't mess with the United States. It's never going to happen. If you go after world history, China has been nowhere on the scene as a leader or a prominent nation or people that have ever developed anything and invented anything that's where they were global leaders and a dominant country that's the only thing they dominate is their own people and enslave their own people. For goodness sake, Japan, a tiny little island, invaded them during World War II, and look what they did. They were killing them by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. So China is no match for anyone. Their military, they're not good fighters. Their military is weak. We engaged them in Vietnam a couple times and ran right over them like nothing. So they're nothing. And the only thing they have is maybe a large navy right now, but our navy is far more superior than the technology we have. We'd wipe them out in a second. And they don't have nuclear weapons, the capability to delivering them here to the United States yet. But we won't let them get them, and we shouldn't let them get them because they'd be too much of a threat. So therefore, you know, it's China, I'm not really, as far as the technology goes or the products that are made over in Taiwan, that's a problem, the Taiwan continent there, but thanks to the help of the United States, they produce pretty much 98%, 97% of everything we have as far as telephones, microchips, stuff like that. So if China was, then that's why China wants that island so bad, so they can enslave those people back again and have control over them. And that's not going to happen. And we have 25,000 troops over there that say it's not going to happen. And that 25,000, they're scared of, trust me. So China is nothing. And if anyone who supports communism in this country, you're an enemy of the republic. And you really should be isolated in this country, fired from your job, and you should be shunned by society, and really so badly that you want to leave this country. We should not allow that type of thinking. That is contempt of Constitution. That's sedition, not the January 6th people. That's sedition. These people should be rounded up and thrown in jail. Those are the people that for seditious should be charged with seditious, people that are going around saying that they promote communism and promote the downfall of the United States openly. That's a crime, for goodness sake. That's a crime. But yet we have Americans. So we have a hijacked system right now. It's backwards because we have a people that don't think straight or clearly, who don't understand history and don't understand the foundations and fundamentals of what our Constitution really was meant for, all people to be free, united, to have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And if I'm a racist because I believe that, then so be it. I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of being who I am. So with that, I close with that.
Okay, well, thank you for that feedback. And that really, it's, and you know, Brother Warren, I you're insulting about the racism stuff. I'm sorry, it's just, you're showing you have nothing else to say. If your argument is all racism, that's just ridiculous. It's so sad. I would like to have an intelligent conversation, but if all you're going to say is try to blame everybody racism on everything, that has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with ideology, and for me. And I
saw
please let me finish what I'm saying. Somebody else mentioned something in the chat about that when it comes to the Brits and all that other stuff, and how we are being isolated from other countries in the world, which is true, those that we usually would think of as being more friendly or allies, whatever, that's because of this administration. This administration is causing so many problems worldwide. If we survive long enough to have a 2024 election, dear Lord, I hope somebody's watching out for us. But the Biden crime family and all their other, it's a group of communists who are trying to take over. As I said in the very beginning, Hillary Clinton, the pandemic. How did Fauci know there was going to be a pandemic in the next administration back in 2017? They had a plan. They want to destroy this country. If you hate the United States of America as a republic, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, U.S. Constitution, if you hate those documents and you don't believe in them, you're the one who truly should leave this country, and we should restore the republic the way it's supposed to be. That is what we need. If you believe in communism, I will be the first one to help do whatever I can to give you a one-way ticket to the Chinese Communist Party in China, whatever, and you can live in whatever other communist states you might. You want to go to Venezuela because they've been so successful in their Chinese communist takeover. If that's where you would want to go, then that's you go there. This isn't supposed to be a communist country here. This is supposed to be a free society. It's supposed to be a republic. It's also supposed to be we the people are the sovereign government. But nobody seems to know that lately. And as I said at the beginning of the show, it's this government that's killing us, and the vaccine was a big part of it. So we are, like I say, past the regular time. I will go around and let everybody have a last chime in here real quickly, finish up, and then I'm going to close the show with My Name is America. So who wants to go first here? Sarge?
I'll go first. I was going to say that you shouldn't give that type of nonsense as much attention as you give it. But what Joe Gibson said was spot on. And the thing is, I might disagree on their Navy. China does not have a blue sea Navy. So I guess their troops are going to walk the waters to get to the United States if they even had that in mind. But we'll turn it around.
Yes,
yeah, I'd like to follow it up with, look,
go ahead.
In this multiracial, multicultural society called the United States, there is no superior race, and I don't know anyone who's claimed such a thing in over a century, well over a century to any serious degree. But I do know what is superior about the United States. What is superior to every other nation, including China, is our aspirations to liberty, our aspirations to protection of human rights, our aspirations of self-government, our aspirations of federalism, our aspirations of goodwill and comity with other nations. In that respect, and also our free market when we allow it to flourish, our free market economic system, not a corporatist fascist state that is developing today. Now, whenever we adhere to those principles, we are superior to every other nation on the planet. No doubt about it. That's why everybody's flocking to come here, and they ain't flocking to go to Red China.
Amen. Exactly. And Brother Warren, you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I just
go ahead,
want
go
to
ahead and let everybody
this.
Know about your show real quick. Let everybody know about your show. And then
I'm the host. My show is called New Orleans Wake Up. You can just go on the blog talk search engine and just put in New Orleans Wake Up and listen to many of my previously recorded shows there. I just want to say that I have a pot of coffee, metaphorically that is, and I want you all to smell the coffee. There will be no more post-World War II-like economic boom in America. There is nothing else to offer the American people but culture wars, looking for transsexuals, getting flashlights, going in the libraries and see what books they are and all this whole kind of crap. That's all you're going to be offered by your politicians, particularly the Republicans. Other countries, such as China, are leading the way. This is a new world order. The United States is a fading empire. And like all empires, and many of you all are good students of history, you know empires don't last for long. They fall. They go into decline. And the United States is in decline. There is no fast-speed rails. None of that stuff is going to be coming. No infrastructure investment, none of that. Just people going at each other's throat over foolishness. Now, I'm not a fan of much of this stuff that the LGBT community pushes, but I know one thing. I'm not going to be a part of persecuting LGBTQ people. I'm not going to make transsexual scapegoats, because that's all what's happening here on this scene. Children, if they have a cell phone, will access pornographic material quicker than they can get it in the school or the library. So this whole crap about banning books is just crap. Take the child's cell phone. In fact, advocate no more cell phones if
okay.
You're serious. Okay, but if you don't want to advocate no more cell phones, or you don't want to take all pornographic sites to court, you ain't serious. You're hitting schools and libraries because it's low-hanging fruit. It's just for nothing but a Salem witch hunt that's going on, and that's a continuation of this little parochial mindset that's been going on in this country. Wake up and smell the coffee.
Okay, well, I'm definitely waking up and I'm smelling something besides coffee, but that's another story. And I'll add a few things at my closing as I wrap up the show. I want to give Joe one your last shot comments here, and of course, I would know about your show.
Yeah, everyone knows about my show here, especially, you know, on the platform here, Restoring the Republic on Tuesday, 7 p.m. But anyway, as far as China goes, I don't know why you're promoting China. I don't understand why. And as far as the transgenders go, yes, we do need to speak down against it and persecute that type of lifestyle. If it is coming into our schools and that's being taught as a normal way of doing things. Look, whatever you do in the privacy of your own home, you can do. But don't bring it out in the public and promote it as a way of life. That's not the way of life that the American people are, our foundations and what we were built upon. Look, every country has their belief and their standards and their history. Africa does. Egypt does. Ethiopia does. Germany does. Everybody does. That's their countries. They have a right to do what they do with their countries. But in America, why is it everyone wants to attack the American values? We're the evil. Because why? Because we generate freedom, you know, the freedom of choice, the freedom to worship as you choose. You could do everything you want, but don't make it like it's the foundation of what this country believes in. You know, we are a God based country, and that's just the way it is. We haven't got our constitution is for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for any other. Simple as that. And if we erase the constitution, get rid of the greatest document that governs anywhere in the world that's ever been found. That's why everybody wants to come here, because we have the greatest system, the formal system, legislative system, judicial branches. We have the greatest. Even though they're corrupt, there is corruption. Sure, there is. That's a people problem, not a government problem. You know, the government's fine. It's the people inside the government that we have to change.
Can I say something quickly, with Sally?
Very quickly.
Okay. An example of the foolishness is the young lady Amanda Garman, who read a poem at Biden's inauguration. Her poem was targeted by a parent in Florida as being inappropriate. Now the people are so embarrassed that this has happened. The mayor of Miami is inviting Amanda Garman to read her poem, because the woman, the parent in question who led this effort to purge her poem from the school books, has been identified as being affiliated with the Oath Keepers and other extremist groups. So the embarrassment now has even DeSantis instigates this stuff, and then he stands back and pretend like he has nothing to do with it when it's shown how foolish it is. This is what you guys are being caught into. This is the kind of mess y'all
okay,
caught us into.
Enough on that one. Okay, I've given you your time. I don't have some of that. I would have to go double check some of the things you're saying, so some of them I'm not going to respond to. But the fact of the matter is, and this is where we always have to have a victim out there. They're always going for the victim. And whether you want to face the reality of it or not, transgender is not normal. Anorexia is not normal. And I go through and I try to explain this for people who don't understand mental illness versus a birth defect. You know, if a person was born missing a limb or part of the fingers or whatever, that's called a birth defect. You're born because it is normal to have two arms. That's what humans are supposed to have, two arms. But things do happen, and there could be a birth defect, and someone was born without a limb. So that's what you would call it, a birth defect, a limitation, a disability. Now, when it comes to anorexia, are people born anorexic? I don't think so. I believe it's very much something that's probably over society telling people what they should look like. But an anorexic person, mostly women, anorexic or bulimic, they look in the mirror and they see this gigantic, fat, obese person, and they're scared to eat food. They don't want to eat food. They're always afraid. They've always, even though their bones are sticking out, they're skeletons, basically, they still think they're fat. They see a fat person in the window because they have a mental illness. It's not because they are fat. It's because they perceive something different than what is really there. That's called a mental illness. That is what the transgender thing has done, and how much of it has been promoted through the insanity of public education. They don't want to teach a kid to read and write, but they want to say, well, wait a minute, you're not really a girl. You're really a boy, so you should act like, and your pronouns, whoa, all this other insanity. They are the ones triggering this, and I will add the vaccines that are doping up and totally screwing up the systems of these kids. The vaccines, nobody is going to ever convince me at this point in time, vaccines are not part of the autism. Autism is not normal either. Where did it come from? How did we get it? The doping up of kids, shooting up all every kind of vaccine, 70 vaccines into these kids. But the point going back to the transgender, it's not normal. You're born as a girl or a boy. There's two different things. You're either male or female. And you may not like it. You may not want to be a girl or a boy or whatever you were doing. Or maybe in some cases a male who isn't a very good swimmer. But because you can't swim and compete because you just weren't given that skill. Not everybody's going to be a Olympic swimmer. But, okay, because you can't win against the males, you're going to go and compete against the women because that's the only way you can win. Not because you really think you're a woman. If you want to, if you truly want, and when it comes to this this cross garbage in the sports, well, you know what, boy, you want to remove all those parts and you want to be pumped up on all sorts of drugs, then you try to compete against the women, okay, if you really think you're a girl. But as long as you got all those parts intact, you are still a boy, and you are the only way you can win is when you go and cheat. That's the only way. So transgender is not normal. It is a mental illness, and a mental illness that is promoted by those who want to totally pervert the society, whatever you want to call it. And you know what? If you're 18, 21, wherever the magic number is going to be, and you choose to go hatch up your body and make yourself something else and whatever else, fine, do whatever you want to do. But you're not going to go and do this to the kids. You're not going to pervert the minds of the kids, brainwash them, and totally, which is what they've done today. And these kids are they're all coming back. There's many, many cases. They're coming back now saying it was the wrong thing. That wasn't what the problem was. Just because I wasn't popular in school didn't mean it was because I was in the wrong body. It was something else. It's insane for anybody to even suggest anything different. And with that being said, we are going to wrap it up for tonight. I'm going to, as I mentioned, close the show with My Name is America. For those of you who aren't real familiar with what America really stands for, you ought to listen to this song. It's Todd Allen. I happen to believe it's something we need to be thinking about right now, and I think Memorial Day is a very good day to do it. And before I go there, thank you very much for the conversation. Brother Warren, thank you, too. You know, you have an opposing view. You have a right to believe in communism if that's what you want. I wish you would just go back to the founding documents, Declaration, and the Constitution, and that's what we're supposed to be, our guiding lights. That's what we're supposed to be about. And if you don't like that, then you are truly the one who should find a country. We should be honoring our founding documents. We should be honoring what we are. If I didn't want to be an American, then I would go and I want to be communist. I'd see if I could get over to China, if that or Venezuela or whatever. There's many other communist countries out there, if that's what I wanted. But I want my Declaration of Independence, which is supposed to be enforced by my Constitution. And you know what? If there's things out there that I don't agree with in that Constitution, which there are some things I would like to change, there's a process. And it's not the Convention of States. Sorry, I don't trust that process in today's environment. But there is a process, and it's called amending the Constitution. We definitely do need to amend the Constitution. So that's kind of my take on that. I am still praying for America. I pray for this country every day. I pray for the souls who think they want to I'll never understand how people are so adamant about slavery who could want to promote communism. I will never understand how you can think communism is so wonderful when you think slavery is so bad. Nothing like that. And I'll tell you, the thing, nothing is more insulting to me personally than trying to say I'm a racist because you have nothing else to say. The only you got to attack me because I don't like a certain culture. I don't like communism, so that makes me a racist. That is so insane. And it only lowers the credibility of what your point is. So if that's the best argument you have, is that I'm a racist because I don't believe in communism, and I've known plenty of Chinese Americans, which we should all be Americans, by the way. Let's stop all the other nonsense. But Asians who become Americans, who migrate here legally and become Americans, I've known many of them and had many friends of them. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with ideology and core belief. Well, I don't.
Hey, Sally, there are
communism.
Millions of them on the island of Taiwan who don't want to be communists either, and they're actually Chinese,
exactly.
And they speak Chinese.
Exactly. That is a perfect point. So perfect point.
Man,
I don't see Taiwan wanting
always has to call names when he loses. He's losing the arguments because we're refuting his arguments point by point. And when he runs out of arguments to counter with, he calls names. He says in the chat room, we're clowns and cult followers. This guy's easy to beat. They're all easy to beat. That's why they have to censor. Their ideas cannot stand up to scrutiny. They simply cannot. That's why they're afraid of open, honest debate. That's why he's afraid to debate me, because he knows I will beat him up one side and down the other. He knows it. So therefore, he comes up with high-minded phrases like, I'm simply beneath him, and I'm not worth taking the time to argue with. Anyone who is reasonably well-educated and rational and understands the founding principles of the United States can easily defeat anyone like Brother Warren or any champion he might propose to send in instead. They are easy to defeat. All we have to do is keep remembering. They rely on censorship, bullying, intimidation, and extortion to shut us up. And if we let them do it, they'll get away with it. What we need to do is push back immediately and not apologize for what we believe.
Amen. I will agree to that. And to wrap it up is to say we need to do not comply to the unconstitutional actions of what is happening in this country. Do not support and promote the unconstitutional actions of this country. It is not what we are about. We need to defend. And if you have a different lifestyle, go for it. But I want to remind everybody what I said at the top of the show. We are looking for a couple of individuals who are very strong on the Trump position and issues and also on DeSantis. We want to have a real debate on this show because we know if you have any kind of debate on media, whether it be cable news, mainstream media, whatever, it's all garbage, it's all nonsense, it's all window dressing. There's no real questions and real discussion. So we're going to have people who know Governor Ron DeSantis' position, and they, when we ask a question, they say, here's what he's done, here's what he believes, here's whatever it is. And then the same is going to be for Trump. Let's have an honest discussion about what these two individuals truly, truly believe in and see which is going to be a better leader for us. Who do we think is going to be the better? And so, anyway, you'll never hear that kind of an open, honest debate on mainstream, lamestream media or the cable news. So with that being said, please listen and enjoy. Great discussion, as I said. Thank you for tuning in, calling in. And let's listen to My Name is America by Todd Allen.
Now I'm challenged by tyrants,
Well, thank you again for tuning in, and please be engaged. Pay attention to what's going on. Speak up. Do not comply with the unconstitutional actions of this government. And I hope you had a blissful Memorial Day and appreciate your freedom. Thank you for the freedom we have. Say a prayer for America and honor those who have fallen. And we will talk again next week. God bless America. Good night, everyone.